Hello, and welcome to this PERspectives Continuing Education podcast, created by healthcare professionals for healthcare professionals. PER is a leader in healthcare education and offers free accredited medical education programs in a variety of accessible formats at gotoper.com. Postpartum depression is a depressive disorder that occurs following childbirth and can have significant adverse effects on both mother and infant. The likelihood of depressive episodes following pregnancy is almost twice as high compared to other periods of a woman's life. Postpartum depression often goes unrecognized and undertreated owing to prescriber and patient concerns about safety risks associated with drug therapies used for treatment. Healthcare providers play a key role in screening and monitoring patients with postpartum depression. Let's hear from Sarah Nagel-Yang and Dr. Lindsay Lieben as they discuss barriers to the timely diagnosis of postpartum depression and the role of screening tools in clinical practice. Can you discuss what you should look for and what to think about when evaluating a patient for postpartum depression?
Postpartum depression essentially is an episode of major depression that occurs sometime during the first year postpartum. The major depressive episode meets DSM criteria for a major depressive episode. So that would be having at least 5 or more of the 9 different symptoms of depression listed in the DSM. So that would include, you'd have to have at least 1 of the following: low mood, irritability, potentially lack of interest in things, as well as some of the other typical symptoms of depression: hopelessness or guilt, changes in sleep, changes in energy, changes in concentration, changes in appetite, potentially suicidal ideation as well. So 5 of those 9 symptoms occurring most days for at least 2 weeks.
What might put somebody at risk for postpartum depression?
In terms of thinking about what might put somebody at risk for postpartum depression, I definitely think of the kind of big risk factors that I've seen in the literature and have played out in my clinical practice of somebody who's had a personal history of depression. So somebody with recurrent depression certainly would be at risk for postpartum depression. Somebody who's had a previous postpartum depressive episode, would definitely be at elevated risk. Somebody with a family history, particularly of reproductive related depressive episodes, certainly in my mind would be somebody I'd want to monitor closely and maybe proactively give education and information about postpartum depression.
I know there's been a lot of developments and awareness among clinicians in terms of guidelines for screening for postpartum depression. And can you summarize what's currently recommended?
Yeah, I'm happy to. So we could start with the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists, because a lot of times our obstetric providers really are first line in caring for these patients and really seeing them, especially early on in the postpartum. So ACOG recommends that all obstetric gynecologists and other obstetric care providers perform a full assessment of mood and emotional well-being, including screening for postpartum depression and anxiety with a validated instrument or screening questionnaire during the comprehensive postpartum visit for each patient. So that would be somewhere between 2, 4, 6 weeks postpartum, depending on the person's situation. The American Academy of Pediatrics also has recommendations around screening for postpartum depression, since they, pediatricians tend to see postpartum persons for longer than the obstetricians might, really throughout the first few years, on a pretty regular basis. So they recommend routine screening for postpartum depression during well child visits at a few different time points at 1, 2, 4, and 6 months of age, ideally with a validated instrument, and referring moms who screen positive for treatment.
Do you have recommendations for incorporating screening for postpartum depression into already busy clinical practices without disturbing workflow?
Well, I think if there's any ways to use other members of the healthcare team to administer the screeners even before the clinical visit, that can be really helpful. You could have, you know, other staff kind of administer those, walk the patient through it, have the score entered in for the provider to review. That way it takes off some of the burden on the provider themselves to fit that into, you know, an already pretty packed visit. So I think really trying to leverage the role of each different provider in the healthcare team in an obstetric setting, in a pediatric setting, is going to be really, really important.
Now that we have discussed screening and diagnosis, can you discuss current therapeutic approaches and treatment goals for patients with postpartum depression?
Sure. Some of the treatment goals that I am considering when I'm working with a patient with postpartum depression would be, number one, what are the symptoms that are most bothersome to that patient, and how can we help to reduce the intensity, frequency, and severity of those symptoms? Number two is looking at the patient's quality of life and level of distress. How can we improve their quality of life with the treatments that we have available? And then I think even beyond the individual patient's quality of life, you can also think about that patient's role within, you know, her broader context, her role in a family, her role in the community, her role potentially as an employee. How can we improve her overall level of functioning as a parent, as a partner, as, you know, whatever other roles the patient might have? So I guess those are some of the things that come to mind immediately. Yeah, I think, I mean, big picture, especially for those of us who are prescribers, I think it's important to remember that there are other treatment options that are very evidence-based, valid options to consider for someone with postpartum depression that are just part of your toolkit, you know, that we have when we think about trying to tailor the treatment to the patient. So some of the non-pharmacologic options that I will be thinking about is therapy. Therapy is huge. Therapy is something that could even prevent the onset of postpartum depression for those who are at risk. It's evidence-based. There are a couple very well-studied therapy treatments for the perinatal population. So that would include cognitive behavioral therapy, which really looks at the intersection of how thoughts and behaviors influence feelings and the interconnection there. Interpersonal therapy is also another validated treatment option for the perinatal population. It really looks more so at interpersonal dynamics between the patient and the people in their community, family, whatever it might be, as well as a significant role transition that happens, you know, between pregnancy and the postpartum. It's really a huge one to navigate. So that's a really useful therapy. Big picture, antidepressants, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors, SNRIs, other atypical antidepressants like bupropion, mirtazapine, all of those are valid treatment options for postpartum depression. So when I'm thinking about selecting an agent, a lot of it really does depend on the patient's unique history. Have they been on medications in the past? Have they benefited from a specific medication? I will say, when I've had a patient who's been a clear responder to a specific medication, I'm very likely to return to that medication because I know that it will provide relief for them. And that's really one of the most important things in addressing postpartum depression, is not prolonging, you know, the patient's distress, the patient's suffering. You know, postpartum depression can impact baby's development. So I really, really want to select a treatment option that I know will work. You know, in the absence of having that information, you know, this might be a patient's first episode of depression. Typically, we'll look at medications in the SSRI class to start. I often will turn to sertraline, especially if someone is primarily, especially when someone's breastfeeding, because the amount of medication that passes into the breast milk is really the lowest of all antidepressants. And so that is one that I keep in mind. Navigating, you know, lactation considerations is one of probably the biggest things that we do in considering treatments for postpartum depression.
You mentioned using a multidisciplinary team in the management of women with postpartum depression. Can you elaborate a little more on this concept?
Well, I think that the different members of the the interdisciplinary team can really have different touch points with the patient for checking in on them, even if they're not directly providing the mental health treatment. So making sure that the obstetrician is checking in, the pediatrician, the therapist is going to play, obviously, a really important role if someone is involved in therapy. And then the psychiatrist or psychiatric prescriber is you know, also going to be playing an important role. So just making sure that the lines of communication are open amongst the different team members, I think, is going to be really important. And I think the other thing that comes to mind is just recognizing, you know, the different treatment options available. I think that we highlighted that earlier, but, you know, each patient is going to have different preferences, different values. They might really want to avoid medications if at all possible. Alternatively, they might really only want to look at medications because they feel like they don't have the time for therapy. So I think really recognizing all the different treatment options available to us and engaging in collaborative decision-making with the patient is really going to be really important. And honestly, it's one of the things that I most love about working with this patient population. Like each treatment plan is just so unique and so tailored to that patient and who they are and, you know, where they are in their lives.
Thanks for listening to this PER Perspectives podcast. If you like today's episode, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your favorite podcast platforms. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening.